I think the end of that reading is almost turns everything that we believe in, the way that we should live our life for Jesus, totally upside down. I'm going to attempt at trying to put it in place, and well, you can tell me afterwards whether you think I succeeded. Now, last week we had the shortened Matthew reading when Dave was preaching. And if we had heard all of it, we would have been told that the Lord sends us out like sheep among wolves and challenges us to be wise like serpents and harmless as doves. And so in that context and the context of this morning, what actually is Jesus telling us to do? And I think if we look at the gospel reading from this morning, we might get one or two answers. And firstly, we've got to be prepared to go. We as Christians are called to go into the world with his spirit and his message. Each one of us is a witness of his glory and grace. And we've been sent by God to this dark world as a witness of his light. So, with very simple words in Jesus, he tells his disciples, I am sending you. Jesus is sending you and me. He says, I'm sending you among sheep as wolves. Jesus sends us out as sheep amid the wolves of Satan. Now, sheep are harmless creatures. We go into the world not to bring any harm to the world, but to bring peace and love. We are helpless to protect ourselves, but we go with the authority and power and presence of Christ. It's in his name that we go, and as sheep, we can change the world. Now, I can't believe it's nearly 30 years ago, but can you remember that picture of that lone man standing in front of the approaching tank in Tiananmen Square? Now, although that lone sheep did not win his battle that day, in many ways it brought sweeping changes throughout the country of China. And they've certainly gone a long way, and they've still got a long way to go, but changes have begun. We are sheep. And sheep, as we've heard in other readings, they depend fully on their shepherd. And obviously the shepherd is Jesus. He will care for us and provide for our needs. Even when we walk in the shadow of death, we need not be afraid. Jesus then told his followers that they were to be wise like serpents and innocent as doves. And these two creatures would immediately create pictures for the disciples. Because serpents, of course, were often used to describe someone who was crafty or sneaky. But Jesus, however, was not using them as a negative example, but as a positive example. Because a snake will be very careful around danger. A snake will not act foolishly. And it will not put itself into a situation intentionally where it could be destroyed. So Jesus is not sending his children out to be fools. We are to be wise. We are to plan and think through what would be the most effective way for us to minister to others. So we're not to shut off our brains, but we're to use them. And when Paul went from city to city, he did not foolishly put himself into places where he would be killed. Yet he was often attacked. But he did not deliberately look for ways to provoke others. And when he was brought before the arena of the angry crowd in Ephesus, he didn't put down the Corinthians' many gods, but instead he just pointed to them the one creator God above all. And Jesus said we are to be as innocent as doves. The dove was a symbol of peace and of the holiness and purity of the Holy Spirit. Christians are to be examples of purity and holiness. We are peace-loving, genuine, truthful, sincere, and God. When Christians do not portray this spirit, they are not speaking on behalf of Christ. And Stephen even prayed for those who were persecuting him, even as he was being stoned to death. So we must be prepared to go as ambassadors of Christ. We're to be wise like serpents and innocent as doves. We are sent as sheep among wolves. And next, as we heard this morning, we must be prepared for opposition. We may also face opposition from our own family members. When the church began, many families were divided. Some family members believed in Christ, while other family members remained Jews or pagans. And this often led to terrible conflicts in families, and at times would spill over into family members turning in their believing relatives to the authorities, who would imprison them and even feed them to the lions. The same still occurs today. In many parts of the world, if you become a believer, you are rejected by your family. In the Muslim world, those who become believers often live under the threat of death from their relatives. Now, there are some people who attend church alone. Maybe our spouse or our parents or our children do not believe in Jesus as we do. And although they may not actually say it, they are in fact rejecting our Christianity. And this can make it lonely and hard for us. There is, however, a promise that God gives us as we continue to live for him. And God sees our need, and he will take care of us. If he cares for the sparrow who falls to earth, won't he care even more for you in our daily struggles to keep the faith? And finally, be prepared to carry the cross daily. The issue is one of devotion and love. Who do you love the most? Where does your allegiance lie? Will you be opposed if you seek to follow Jesus? The cross represents identification. When we daily pick up our cross, we identify ourselves as followers of Jesus. With that may come persecution and rejection, but we are committed to following Christ, no matter what the cost. If you lay your life down and give yourself fully to Jesus, then you will find out who you really are. You will find your life in all of its fullness and joy. So remember, be prepared. Jesus will send you. You will face opposition, but pick up your cross and follow him. And that is for those who know Jesus. But what about those who may know Jesus but aren't sure or don't know Jesus? When Linda and I lived in Daventry, our next door neighbour was involved with one of the Christian television channels. And I can remember something he spoke about was that he saw people who attend church, but only a handful of them, he said, were really committed or had really committed their life to Christ. We put off tomorrow what we can do. Sorry, they put off tomorrow for what they could do today. But unfortunately, tomorrow doesn't come for many of them. He then went on to say that it was great to be in church, but if your life is void of Christ, you might only be fooling yourself. Maybe you do have a wonderful relationship with Jesus. And if you do, share it with those who don't. But for those who find it difficult to receive Jesus into your life, allow me to share with you 4 simple steps to receive him into your heart. Step 1, sit at his feet. Step 2, listen to his voice. Step 3, lean on his bosom. And finally, 4, follow in his footsteps. So sitting at his feet, Luke chapter 10, 38 to 42 tells us that as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. Martha had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what was said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. And she came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Don't allow yourself to get too caught up in everyday life that you have not got any time to be in God's presence. And a great way to reach into the heart of God is to sit at his feet. Listen to his voice. We often sneak away into the darkness of this world to do things that are not pleasing to God. But God is always calling us, knowing fully well that we are on a dangerous mission. He keeps calling and calling and calling, hoping that we will hear his voice and come home. And in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them. They hear me and follow me. And because they follow me, I give them eternal life." So if you are out in the darkness befriending the world, listen carefully for the Saviour's voice, because he wants you to come home. Step 3, to lean on his bosom. Once you progress from step 1, which is to sit at his feet, to step 2, which is to listen to his voice, you are well on your way to make Jesus the Lord of your life. But often times at this stage of the game, trials and persecutions will come to you in double measure. So don't be disturbed if you do have troubles. Sickness and sorrow may come your way because these are the only meant to take us away from God. And when Christ is closest to you, the storm of life rages the most. Do you remember the story when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee? The boat was tossed around and it began to take in water. And Jesus was fast asleep and the disciples were scared half to death. And when it was really, really bad, they woke the Saviour. And in a sense, they leaned on him for strength. And in the journey of your spiritual life, there will be often times when you can't go it alone. You will need the strength and help of the one who conquered all. And sometimes that means that you rest your head on his bosom. And finally, step 4, follow in his steps. You sat at his feet, you've listened to his voice, and you've waged the storms of life by leaning on him. And now you're called upon to follow in his steps. And this is the toughest part that calls for much sacrifice. You begin to look at others with the eyes of Jesus. When someone is crying, you wipe those tears away. When someone is hungry, you will do something to feed them. When someone is sick, you will visit them. And when someone is lonely and afraid, you will share the love of Christ. You become the hands and heart of Jesus to a needy world. In terms of following, this is what Jesus had to say. "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his or her cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his or her life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Walking in Jesus' steps means doing everything Jesus would do. Now let me leave you with a story of someone who found it difficult to receive Jesus into his life. But when he did, he knew how much it meant to have Jesus close to him. A woman came to the vicar one day and asked if he would come home and pray for her old and sick father. When the vicar arrived, he found the man lying in bed with his head propped up on two pillows. Beside the bed was an empty chair. Seeing the chair, the vicar assumed the old man had been informed of his visit. "I guess you're expecting me," he said. "No, who are you?" asked the old man. "Well, I'm the new vicar at your church. And when I saw the empty chair, I figured you knew I was going to show up." "Oh, yeah, the chair," said the bedridden man. "I have something to say about that. Would you mind closing the door?" Puzzled, the vicar shut the door. "Now, I've never told anyone this, not even my daughter," said the man. "But all through my life, I had never known what it meant to receive Jesus in my life. At church, I would hear the preacher talk about Jesus knocking on the door of our heart. But it always seemed to go right over my head. And I'd abandoned any attempt at trying to find out what this was all about. Until one day, 4 years ago, my best friend said to me, 'Joe, receiving Jesus is just a simple matter of having a feeling that he is always there with you. And here is what I suggest. Sit down on a chair and place an empty chair in front of you. Then imagine for a moment that Jesus is sitting on the empty chair.' That's not spooky, because Jesus promised that he will be with you always. And then just speak to him and listen in the same way you're doing with me right now." So I tried it, and I liked it. And I've liked it so much that I do it a couple of days every day. I'm careful, though, because if my daughter saw me talking to an empty chair, she'd either have a nervous breakdown or send me off to the funny farm. The vicar was deeply moved by this story, and he encouraged the old man to continue on his journey. And then he prayed with him, and he returned back to his church. 2 nights later, the daughter called to tell the vicar that her daddy had passed away that afternoon. "And did he seem to die in peace?" he asked. "Yes. When I left the house at around 2 o'clock, he called me over to his bedside. He told me one of his corny jokes. He kissed me on the cheek. But when I got back from the shops an hour later, I found him dead. But there was something strange. Apparently, just before Daddy died, he laid over and he rested his head on the empty chair beside his bed." Now, you either know the Lord or you don't. Only you know where you are on this. But I now ask that when you get home, that you spend a couple of prayerful minutes imagining, if you will, that Jesus is sitting next to you. His arms are wide open, and he is expecting that you will give yourself to him. If you haven't done this already, consider making him the Lord of your life, so that when the time comes for you to go home, you too will have a place to rest your head. Amen.